everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, January 28th, 2016, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We're live streaming our show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's fine website, KVOI. And of course, we have all of our podcasts and the archive of pretty much every show we've done in the over 5 years of this project, again, at my website, buckmastershow.com, so you can check that out. Any programs always available for you. We're going to begin with a conversation with Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart, the president of the University of Arizona. At 12:30, the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, Hank Amos, will be with me in studio talking about Tucson Realty's annual commercial real estate outlook. Hank will also give us some insights on how he thinks the Arizona economy is doing and some of his predictions for 2016. The Buckmaster Show live line is now open for your calls. With questions, comments, and suggestions for our guests, the number is 790-2040. We also have a very active Facebook presence. If you know my name, you can find us on Facebook, of course, under Bill Buckmaster. And we are doing the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill. Thank you for inviting me.
So how's the new year going so far?
Oh, you know, at the University of Arizona, every moment is filled with wonderful accomplishments from students and their learning to faculty and their scholarship and teaching, and it's always a pleasure to be a part of it.
And it's budget time, of course. I think you've been up to Phoenix a couple of times, certainly already, right, with the legislature?
Absolutely.
You're up there yesterday?
I was there yesterday and the day before. Mm-hmm. The appropriations hearings for both the Senate and the House happened in the last 2 days. So we've been there to represent higher education in the state legislature.
How does this budget picture look as far as higher education is concerned?
Well, we were very heartened to learn that the budget analysis left us in a position where the state has not only more ongoing funds to allocate, as tough as those decisions will be, but also given the revenue projections that there are dollars that can be one time that will invest in our state and invest in our future, but could be one time pending knowledge about the next year or two in our financial outcomes. So it looked pretty good starting out. The governor did a good job in listening to the Board of Regents. He came to the Board of Regents meeting in April and challenged us to develop in partnership with him a new model for the funding for higher education that would envision a clarity and understandable simplicity for the state's commitment to the funding of Arizona students. We kept our promise to him, and the four presidents, including the ABOR president, Eileen Klein, so President Crow, President Chang, President Klein, and I agreed to abandon institutional rivalries and to focus on funding Arizona students. Our Board of Regents voted unanimously to support the model, and the governor kept his promise and in his budget proposed that we be funded on that model. The dollar amounts are very small, only $8 million. And so in our hearings with both the Senate and the House, all four of us and our supporters, Chairman Hyler and Regent Patterson, who were both there personally, made the case to those committees that under the current circumstances, commit to fund Arizona students, add to that $8 million base for a change in the weather, and then focus on investing in our three universities in ways that will advance the future but might require one-time monies. So core funding for the base and investment in our capital facilities, all designed to improve education for funding Arizona students.
A little bit of history is in order. According to the Chronicle of Higher Education, Arizona is at the bottom of the list of 15 states that spend less on higher education than they did 5 years ago. Our spending is 27% below it was in the what it was in the fiscal year 2011. Alabama was next to last with a 25% decrease. And of course, last year, Arizona cut $99 million from the three state universities. So the restoring some of that money, the $8 million, is a small step.
It is a small step. I think the progress that we are gratified occurred is in rethinking the relationship between higher education in the state and the state itself to fund Arizona students. All four of us, from the three campus presidents to the ABOR president, are willing to be on the hook for all the other wonderful things we do, to find alternative revenue streams that combine tuition, partnering, external grants and contracts, a lot of business partnerships that are, you know, that are boats on their own bottom. But if we can count on dollars to do long-range planning with funding Arizona students, then we have a better chance to recreate a future for Arizona public higher education going into the future.
Is there any money for salary increases at the University of Arizona?
There is no state appropriation at all. Explicitly, the state left out higher education the last two times that they have appropriated salary increases for state employees. But we have decided at the university that our salaries are so important to our future. We are a human enterprise. We are a knowledge business. That they are so important to us that they will require us to reallocate internally, which means we'll have to stop spending money on something in order to be able to spend it on salaries. But the human beings that make up the great University of Arizona are critical to our success moving forward.
It's been a while, hasn't it, since there have been some salary increases?
No, actually, we have reallocated quietly, internally, some money. And my first year was the first increase in 5 years.
Okay.
And we did provide a salary pool based on merit that was about 3%. And we have allocated some quiet money for merit-based salary increases in the interim. But we're still falling behind, so we need to do more.
And for those that continue to say, well, the university system is fat and bloated, there have been cuts just last year, personnel cuts at the University of Arizona.
Well, and in fact, we eliminated 320 positions just last year so that we could continue to focus on the quality of our Never Settle plan and the 21st century future of the university for our students, and still be able to manage the cuts that were caused by 16% of our dollars just going away from the appropriation. So we really have been lean, and we're becoming more lean and more mean. Since the Great Recession, the University of Arizona alone has created a system in which we spend almost $2,300 less per student to deliver a world-class education to undergraduates than we did in 2009. So I think we're pretty proud of cost containment. We don't think it's ever over, but we are lean and mean and committed to doing a great job. The University of Arizona is in the top third of our ABOR peers in value, meaning the bottom third in cost and quality, and we're in the top one quarter of the research universities who are public with medical schools in the value we provide for our students, which it means we're in the bottom quartile of price.
And when we come back with Dr. Hart, we'll talk a little bit about what does a college graduate in the state of Arizona, how does that translate into money that is spent in the Arizona economy. The figures are really surprising and I think will be very eye-opening. That's as we continue on the Buckmaster Show this Thursday, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Hart, she would be happy to entertain those questions and comments. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Jan Osweiler.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're
Brenda
here.
Brenda Reiner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert. Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another five-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverde Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a five-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow. It will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart, before the break, I was teasing the fact that there's a new report that each college graduate in Arizona is worth $660,000 to the Arizona economy. And for the tax base, it's really astounding.
It is absolutely astounding. Every college graduate contributes in their lifetime an additional $188,000 of taxes to our economy and to the support of our other public institutions.
Well, it's for those that say that the universities are not paying to improve the economy. I think this really, really shows what a dramatic difference a college degree can make for a student.
It does. And when you look at the contribution of the University of Arizona alone on an annual basis to the economy of the state, in 2011, and including our health sciences, it was $8.3 billion in a single year. And because such a high proportion of our research expenditures come from external dollars, we have a net import impact of over $1 billion a year just from research alone. And in manufacturing, we have the Mir Lab that contributes a $200 million business enterprise to the state of Arizona.
What some of our listeners may have seen that report that the University of Arizona has drastically cut some of the growth goals for research. What's going on there?
Oh, well, that's pretty simple. Those totals are total expenditures. So they are internal dollars spent from sources that include student tuition and combined with extramurally funded research, and then you count the total number of people who are getting those dollars. So by sheer size, if you are research intensive, you can be smaller in size and be a more distinguished research institution. So for example, MIT, one of the most distinguished research institutions in our nation, is not huge. And so in total research expenditures may be lower than others. The University of Arizona, for example, spends 80% of those total dollars are external. They come into the state, contribute directly to our economy. There are universities whose total expenditures are significant who spend 37-40% of that money from internal sources. So when we set those goals, we look at dollars per grant active faculty, and we're very effective at that level. We look at dollars per student. So we look at that creates a research intensive environment for our never settle commitment to the student experience. And that's what creates the research university experience. Total expenditures is as much a measure of size as it is anything else.
The goal. The enrollment goal you have set for 2025, 64,000 students. There are approximately, I think, what, 43? About 43,000 now. So that seems rather ambitious, I guess, on the surface.
Well, on the surface it does. Yeah. But we are actually, of the three state universities, designated to have the smallest growth. And the Regents have said that our core mission as the research-intensive land-grant university with the two medical schools is to stay a comprehensive, high-quality residential experience while contributing to serving the higher education needs of the state. So one of the things that we have done since I became president of the university is to focus very, very intensely on diversifying the options for college completion that the University of Arizona makes available. We've always had really high quality online professional master's degrees for those who have already attained a professional status and may be working full time. We are now adding more and more opportunities for undergraduates for online degrees, and beginning that focus for students who may have attended the university for a couple of years and want to complete their educations, but for a variety of personal reasons have moved on and may be working full time. So many of those students will be at other locations like our programs in Yuma and other parts of the state, but many of them will be online, and they are our share of the region's commitment to trying to increase the number of college graduates in our state.
How about the tuition? That comes up in the spring, doesn't it? The goals are set for the upcoming year for tuition?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And we have a process that is very, very focused on shared governance, which is a hallmark of the University of Arizona. Our student leaders, both at the graduate and professional level and at the undergraduate level, are actively engaged with us and the Strategic Planning and Budget Advisory Committee that includes faculty, staff, and students to talk about the overall budget of the university, the academic goals to which we have committed, and how student tuition plays a part in that process. So our students are actively engaged in that process. In addition, recall that at our students' request, we instituted a tuition guarantee, and last year, a tuition and mandatory fees guarantee. So when we increase tuition, 90% of our students see no increase. It's only the first-time, first-year freshmen for whom tuition goes up, and that is set as a guarantee to stay the same for 4 years in tuition and mandatory fees. Families love it because they know that they can plan. They don't expect dramatic inflation, but it requires very sophisticated long-range planning on our part. And both NAU and the University of Arizona have these guarantees, and it requires us to be very careful about all sources of revenue and to take the risk that there won't be another major economic crash and that the state will continue to fund Arizona students.
Dr. Ann Weaver-Hart with us, president of the University of Arizona. Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star had a rather provocative column about the U of A and its future as far as athletics in the conference. Of course, the Pac-12 is the home to the University of Arizona, but Greg was floating an idea that maybe a better fit would be the Big 12. And the Big 12 doesn't have 12 teams. It has 10 teams. What did you think when you read Greg's column?
Well, this is my third presidency. And in both of my previous presidencies, the affiliation of conferences has been a hot topic in athletics. I would say, for example, at the University of New Hampshire, we had a separate conference for hockey. Now, I don't ever expect that to happen in sunny Tucson, but it's a part of the roiling of the NCAA, of intercollegiate athletics, of thinking about what the best competitive environment is, where we recruit members for our teams, how we can establish the best financial model for our institution. And as the Power Five and a national championship in football has shifted our emphasis, that kind of speculation is a part of the life of every AD and every university president. And so I'm sure Mr. Hansen has been a part of that dialogue. He's tied into the national mm-hmm. sports networks. And my thinking is, I've been doing that my whole professional life.
A lot of it's TV revenue, too, isn't it?
Oh, and more than it ever was. Television revenue has become, just in my career as a president, a huge part of the revenue picture for intercollegiate athletics. Very, very different with the universities than it was even at the end of the last century.
Of course, there are geographical ties. You've got the natural rivalry with ASU, of course. That's something that would have to be considered. And California, Geographically, well, we look to California in so many ways.
Well, natural rivalries do not ratings make for the folks who fund higher education. And other natural rivalries with as long or longer traditions than ours have faded as conferences have shifted.
Like Nebraska.
For example, yeah. Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Just our neighboring state, Utah, the BYU-Utah mm-hmm. rivalry went up in smoke with the entry to the Pac-12 of the Utah University. So there are just lots of moving parts, and it's part of what makes the athletic director position increasingly more important to us than ever, and make a partnership between the president and the AD so critical.
All right, Dr. Hart, thank you very much. We've got the Tucson Festival of Books. A lot of people get there. A lot of people that don't go to campus will be going to campus, certainly, as that Tucson Festival of Books has grown. I'm going to be one of the main, interviewers at the event, speaking with a very well-known historian, Douglas Brinkley, who's got a couple of really big-time books about Teddy Roosevelt and FDR. That'll be a midday Saturday event. So I'm putting a little plug in there for my own event there.
Absolutely. And we're very proud of the Festival of Books and would encourage people to come to campus and to participate. There's something for everybody in the Festival of Books. And
there
we are
is.
One of the top festivals in the nation and very proud of it.
All right, Dr. Hart, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and I hope to be able to come back again.
We'll have you back for sure. Thank you, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, President, University of Arizona. Hank Amos is next from Tucson Realty and Trust. We'll look at the economic picture here in Tucson right after this. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview with Tucson's Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. Friday Roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show. We are joined now in studio by Hank Amos, CEO and President of Tucson Realty and Trust. Hank, always good to see you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
In a short while, Hank will be meeting with members of the media for his annual review that Tucson Realty Trust, Realty and Trust does, kind of an overview where we were in 2015, where we're going in 2016. Overall, Hank, what kind of a year was 2015?
Overall, it was a little bit better than 2014, and you know, we're starting to see, like, in apartments, multifamily cap rates, some sales in the 5.6, 5.75. That's almost unheard of for sales that low. Industrial vacancy and industrial kind of dropped down. I think they're at 9.4. And that's down from 10.7, so that's the lowest it's been in 10 years. So retail seems to be, you know, picking up, and there's redevelopment kind of going on, but it's been slow, right? And so the progress has been better, but it's not like the world's on fire.
Why don't we begin with before we talk about your area, kind of an overall, the housing market, which is important to the commercial market. How did 2015 look for residential housing?
Well, first off, the housing market is very important for Tucson's economy.
Right.
So we were a real estate driven economy. As long as housing is doing great and we're building homes, our economy tends to do a lot better. So 2015 was a good year in the residential market. They had about 14,250 homes sold. It's a 10% increase over last year. They'll hit about $300 billion in sales volume. That's the first since 2007. And that's a 14% increase. That's a big increase, a 14% increase over 2014. So the median sales price of a home is about $170,000. That's up, you know, 3.3%. The average sales price is about $210,000. That's up 1.5%. And new home sales, which is important, was up 7.5%. So they had a very good year.
How does that then help, or if the housing market, residential, is not doing well, it does reflect into your area of commercial, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because you have subcontractors and all those companies and affiliates, you know, that deal with the residential, so that kind of trickles down. But when the economy's doing well and more people are coming in and building things, it just, retail does better, everything does a little bit better.
You know, I was thinking as I was driving into the studio, I was driving along, I think it was Craycroft, and I was looking at these so many signs saying for lease and there's all these vacancies. Are we starting to see some of these kind of corner shopping areas? Are they starting to be repurposed, redeveloped? Is there some good news there?
There is. So, you know, right now the vacancy rate is, you know, one Pima County Real Estate Research Council says it's about 8.3%. CoStar, which is a service that commercial brokers use, says it's about 6.6%. So, you know, it's probably about 7.5%. That's pretty healthy. And what you're starting to see is a lot of repurposing. So some of the older shopping centers that you look at, like Broadway and Wilmot, and you saw what happened on the southeast corner, they tore it all down and they put a CVS and some things that are going up there, Neater's. And then you look across the street and they repurposed that shopping center where a Nordstrom Rack is going to happen. You saw the same things kind of happening in Broadway and Kolb there. So, you know, Larson Baker is revitalizing what's called Circle Plaza. And I think they're putting a Natural Grocers there and a Hooters is going to go there. So you're starting to see that, which takes some of that obsolete property and kind of makes it look a little bit better. But we still have some vacancy in some of those strip centers that you see and all. And that's a reflection of the economy, too, as well.
Hank Amos is with us, 790-2040. If you have any questions about real estate, like to give us a call, please do so. Let's talk about downtown. That is a bright spot, is it not, Hank?
Oh, yeah. Downtown, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, downtown has been on fire. There's 13,000 people that live within a mile of downtown. The retail market has about 500,000 square feet. That vacancy rate is under 6%. So in the past 5 years, we've seen 240 new businesses open up in downtown, 66 restaurants, 56 retail stores, a grocery store, the possibility of another one coming, 18 nightclubs. So it's become like a hot spot, and it's been a very that's been a success point for Tucson.
What drove it? What turned it around? You know, when you said 6%, I can remember interviewing you about maybe 10 years ago on the TV show, and we were talking about downtown.
Yeah, I said if I had – I think I told you if you had money, don't invest it down
yes,
there.
Yes, you did. I mean, that was kind of the – that was the real low point of the whole – the Rio Nuevo had hit kind of rock bottom. And as I recall – I think the vacancy rate down there, you know, now you're saying 6%. I think you were like talking 15, 20%.
Well, I can't remember, but it was high. But you had some individuals that had a lot of vision, and they came like Scott Steitler,
right?
Jim Campbell, and Peachtree Properties. And they decided, you know, they made some investments and they did things and they created a place where people wanted to be. So some restaurants came down there. They put some nightclubs and you have certain things. And you got the student housing and you throw in the rail. And the city had some incentives to develop downtown, and that combination. But you really have to hand it off to those individuals that, you know, risked their capital and made some investments, and they saw something, because quite honestly, you know, downtown wasn't there. But here's what happens a lot of times in real estate. Things get expensive and it doesn't make sense anymore, or it's very hard to make that return. So you look to areas that, well, maybe I can go here and make it happen. So South Miami, Miami Beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a dump a long time ago.
Yeah.
But
no
people
kidding.
Moved down there because the rents were so cheap and the values were so cheap, and they created things and an energy, and now it's, you know, some of the most expensive real estate in the United States. So I think that's what happened downtown Tucson. There was opportunity. People saw that. They had a vision, and they created this wonderful downtown Tucson.
And right the now. Millennials, they love it, right?
They love
I
it.
I mean,
down
the
there.
Under 30s. The people like my producer, engineer, Ray Allen, that age group, Ray's just about 30, they like downtown.
They love it. Yeah, it's
but
a great
are we
spot.
Getting the sound of the baby boomers to go downtown, the people that live the north of river folks?
You do. I mean, you have the Fox Theater,
yeah.
And it brings events, and you have events like, you know, the first Tuesdays, the Maynard's opportunity, and some good restaurants down there. And so you do get individuals that come there, but it is mainly a millennial, you know, epic center for millennials.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Hank Amos will stick around with us, and then he has to get over to a news conference at 1:30, but we're kind of getting a sneak preview of what Hank will be reporting this afternoon about the commercial real estate scene. Be right back.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Buckmaster Show, 12:48 on this Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow, our guest, our Friday Focus guest, the mayor, Jonathan Rothschild will be here in studio with me. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by a great area of the southwestern United States, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only 3 hours east of Tucson. If you're looking for something different, at a great elevation, about a mile high elevation, it's really nice up in that area to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just kind of hang out in historic downtown Silver City. They've got some great restaurants there. They've really revitalized the area. And check it all out. The many places to stay, like Georgetown Cabins, Gila Hot Springs Resort, and Bear Creek Cabins. You can find the full listing of places to stay and things to do by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. With me in studio, Hank Amos. Hank is the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, which has been in this area since territorial days. What was the year of the incorporation?
It's been 105 years, 1911.
105 years. My goodness. So Tucson Realty and Trust probably is one of the longest continuously operating businesses in Tucson, Arizona.
Correct.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so you have seen a lot of changes in Tucson. So things getting a little better?
A little better.
I heard roads are getting
a little better.
Jobs?
Nope.
No jobs.
No jobs. You really need a business-minded board of supervisors and city council that's just open to that and open to growth and you know, open your hands and doing that. And we don't have that. I mean, we're talking about the paid benefits, which, you know, we get that. And but most firms that are good firms are making money offer those things
that pay for sick leave.
But now the talk is, you know, $15 minimum wage, and look, that's just a job killer. You're gonna lose more businesses in this community. We had 31 restaurants go out of business last year in 2015. I think 30 the year before. You'll have at least 30 again, and people are just barely making it in Tucson. These businesses are barely making it. And when you force something like that, you're just going to dry it up. And when you have other companies that are looking to go to communities, right, and they look at their biggest costs are real estate and employee costs. And if those employee costs is going to be a minimum of $15, they're not coming here. And just the fact that you're having this discussion.
Yeah, even though it won't happen, but...
Right, but just the discussion...
The discussion
it. Just makes Tucson like, okay, they're a bunch of no-growthers, they're difficult to do business with, and now look at they're talking about here. You know, and other economic development corporations, you know, every city has one, it's very competitive. So if a company's saying, well, I'm thinking about going to Tucson, we're going, well, then did you hear what they're talking about?
Yeah.
And like, nope, don't want to go.
Because with the internet now, you know, you Google anything and any kind of story comes up about, well, we're considering that. Even if it's way out there, it's going to be out there.
It's just crazy.
Where are some of the bright spots now of this commercial real estate market?
Well, like I said, you know, cap rates are really at all-time lows, and we're starting to see like in the high fives right now for apartments. So, you know, there's a silver lining, and the silver lining is this. If you own real estate and you've had it for a while and it's income producing, now's probably the time to sell because these cap rates are at all-time lows. And interest rates eventually going to go up. They started the move, but you know now it's going on the stock market. It was interesting to note they raised rates in December at their last policy board meeting, the Fed, and yet rates for loans, okay, actually went down because it's tough out there with China in a free fall and oil in a free fall. But eventually that's going to settle, they're going to start moving rates up. And as they move rates up, they move cap rates up. And the higher the cap rate is, then the less money you're going to get for your property. So if you ever thought about, you know, now's the time to sell, think about selling, now's the time to sell. On the other hand, if you had a business and you wanted to buy, values have actually shored up a lot. and they're starting to go up in value, okay? So, you know, you want to catch it before it really starts going up. So now's the time to buy your office building, and, you know, you get that depreciation, you can accelerate it, and it can shelter some of your income and all. So, you know, now's the time to be buying or selling and taking advantage of that.
790-2040, if you have a question or comment for Mr. Hank Amos, he would be happy to hear from you. How about some of these offices? We're seeing medical leasing facilities kind of coming around. These, what do they call them, kind of mini
urgent care and surgery centers. They've been popping up. And
along with that and mattress retailers. It's like
and pawn shops.
There you go. Yeah. On every corner or something. Yeah.
That's the big deal. Yeah. I don't know how all those mattress firms are going to do it, but anyway. But yeah, medical has kind of led the office into a large degree, and they'll probably continue to do so. And you know, talking about office right now, you know, vacancy rates are in that 16-17% range, which is, you know, pretty high. And we talked about last time that, you know, lease rates were actually where they were in the mid-1980s, you know. So, but we've noticed in the last 6 months, they've actually started increasing. So you're seeing new developments like along River Road, where you're seeing these lease rates in the, you know, mid-20s, low-20s, triple net. That's pretty good. And we actually were looking for a space for ours and for our property management, and we noticed that rates had actually, you know, gone up a little bit. So, you know, right now that office market is starting to tighten. The vacancy is starting to drop, and we're starting to see lease rates kind of go up a little bit.
Well, we have had some successes. We had a Walmart neighborhood market that anchored a retail center recently opened at the southeast corner of Drexel and Tucson Boulevard. So things are happening. And later this year, I guess a Walmart neighborhood market will be opening and revitalizing, I think it's called Amphi Plaza, which is located over on the northeast corner of Fort Lowell and First. So Fry's continues to, they really like Tucson. And in some ways, that makes sense. We're kind of a low-income area, and Fry's tries to keep their price point good.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
So they're expanding.
No, retail's been doing pretty well, and we continue to see some of the nationals coming in. And like I said, it's been a repurposing and taking some of that obsolete and putting some of the new in. So they've had, you know, really good run for the last couple of years.
You said that restaurants, we had 30 restaurants closed last year?
31.
31. Whoa. One of your folks, Pat Darcy, who will be giving at the news conference, he predicted there'll be a new restaurant opening at the former Old Pueblo Grill location.
Right. We actually did that transaction.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah.
So when will we have an announcement about that?
Soon.
So you can't tell us. Tell us who it's going to be. Okay. So office, we talked about industrial space. People who want to buy land, is this a buyer's market for those people?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So let's break that down a little bit. So if you're talking about residential lots, you know, it's interesting to note, as well as the residential market performed last year, lots have had a five-month slide in price, and they're at their lowest level they've been in a couple years. So the average lot now is down to 35,000. Inventory for lots in Tucson is 1,538, up 1% a year ago. So there's a lot of lots out there. If you're thinking about buying a lot and building a home, you know, there's some opportunity there. As far as land, residential land, and all, you know, what's happened there basically is that the beginning of the year was, you know, very active, and our best markets that we had was basically the Northwest. So new home construction permits were up 25% in Marana, 2.9% in Oro Valley, and 15.8% in South Pinal County. Okay, that's the Northwest. But it was interesting to note that the city of Tucson was down 29%, and Pima County was down 15.2%. So I'll leave you to draw your own conclusion on there. But
so again, the Northwest side
is rocking. Yeah, is rocking. But I don't see builders You know, normally when things are hot, they're buying tons of inventory and they're getting there, but they're taking a little bit slower and they're cautious. And with, you know, what's going on right now with the markets and is the other shoe going to drop? And, you know, I think the residential market, home market is going to be similar more towards 2014, which wasn't as good as 2015, because there's just a little bit of uncertainty out there. So I don't really see them out buying tons of inventory because they don't really know where that demand's going to be coming from.
And that uncertainty comes from Wall Street starting the year like
absolutely.
This. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And with the price of oil kind of hitting rock bottom, maybe it's on its way up as OPEC considers maybe they will start to tighten production, and that will send oil higher. Okay, Hank Amos, thank you very much, and always a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. This afternoon for Tucson at 4, from 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Then tomorrow morning we do 4 hours of local talk from 6 to 10. Chris and Joe, 6 to 8. Christy Simone with the Daily Double and a different guest host every day with Chris from 8 to 9. And then 9 to 10, Sean McCluskey with his new show, Talk of the Town. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back tomorrow with our guest, Mayor Rothschild, for our Friday Focus interview. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.